Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Quite the first hour we had. Thank you for all of the interaction. We will get back to it, I promise. Because it's hot in the streets right now. Brendan Nunes, Sacktown Sports, Kings reporter, real quick. From the 916, Brendan, I need to get your take on this. This is from the 916. I love the Kings, but I didn't like DeMarcus and didn't condone his actions. Kristen with a K. And I would love to just start with Kings talk, but I got to get my guy's take here, Brendan, on what went down last night. You into WWE? That's your thing? Or
MMA?
What are we doing here?
Yeah, not too into it, personally. I've honestly... You know, I'm not, I get a lot of crap for this, but I've kind of been a Draymond defender. You can't really defend that one.
No,
not
it's
lie.
Tough.
That's a tough one.
What
That's
about the screenshot, one. The Rudy Gobert screenshot on Clay?
Where he's allegedly sure. choking him. You know?
Sure, sure.
Allegedly. And by the way, yeah, allegedly.
The Warriors you know? Broadcast was also, yeah, a little much for me.
Yeah, we played the much. Sound and it wasn't great. People are going to defend their guys. That's kind of my take. The line that you take it to is, I think, where everybody is able to say our fan base wouldn't go that far.
Yeah.
We'll never know because there's only one Draymond, and he's only been on the Warriors. So, all right, get into Kings. How are you feeling about the Kings and, I guess, the state of the Kings as they head to L.A. for a fairly tough road trip? I wouldn't sleep on this road trip, have to face some tough teams. How do you feel about the Kings right now after their couple game winning streak, feeling good, De'Aaron Fox back? What is your take on the Kings at this very moment in time?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. Alan, I know you don't like it, but I think there's going to be a lot more beams this year.
Come on, man. Really? Really? First Chris on... Come on now.
Just saying.
This is how you start the conversation?
By the way, eventually, maybe not next week, it might be the week after, it may take even longer than expected, I will have a gift for you, Alan, that we will...
We're
you know,
working
present
on, it.
On air at some
wow.
point.
Wow.
Crafting.
Okay.
It's incredible.
Crafting, wow. I am happy about this or scared. I'm not quite sure.
Any gift is a good gift.
But, I think they've been playing great, though. Like, offensively, they finally were knocking them down. You know, I think that Monday night against Cleveland was the first time, except the opener in Utah, where they actually met their 3-point average from last year percentage wise. Mm. So shots were going to go down eventually. But I think defensively, these last two games, we've seen that physicality that Mike Brown wants just be totally embraced. Cleveland and OKC looked pretty frustrated with Sacramento's physicality. And sometimes that means that you're getting away with fouls. You know, I do think there's an aspect of they can't call everything. And I think you saw OKC and Cleveland be a little frustrated by that. So I think the offense is going to be close to what it was last year. And I think we've seen defensive progress.
Yeah, Brendan, so just more on the road trip, like, you know, the Kings are obviously kind of coming out of playing the worst basketball we've seen them play in a really long time. Six-game road trip ahead. Usually road trips can either really bring a team together or really highlight some of your deficiencies. And, you know, the Kings definitely on their little mini road trip to Houston definitely showed some definite scars that I think could eventually be opened back up again. Do you feel like this road trip's coming at a good time for the Kings? Are you worried at all about what this road trip might mean? Or does this feel like the almost the perfect time to have a road trip?
I think it's a fine time for it. Like I said, I think they're rolling. I think these two games did a lot for them. It's funny how, you know, much it was chaos after those Houston games, and it just changes so fast in the NBA. There's so many games, and now everything feels great around them, you know? So I think it's coming at a good time. They're going through a handful of teams. I think the first two are easier opponents,
sure.
You know, LA, second night of a back-to-back, even though they smacked around Memphis last night and neither one of their two stars had to play over 30 minutes. San Antonio, like, Wemby's cool. Wemby's great. Their team, not very good. And New Orleans is not great either. So I really look at this Dallas and Minnesota games as the two big ones to me, specifically this Minnesota game, man.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about in-season tournament and Sacramento is currently 1-0. And Minnesota seems like the team to beat in this tournament. So if Sacramento can take that game in San Antonio, second in-season tournament game, first of this road trip, that one in Minnesota could set up to be a pretty big game.
Yeah, I think the thing about Minnesota going to the actual basketball that happened last night is that even though the Warriors were down, you had a career night from Brandon Podziemski. And those are games that teams can mess around and lose, right? So even though in theory, the Timberwolves should have blown the Warriors out of the water. You put up everything that happened. You just want to get out of there with the W, and that's what the T-Wolves did. And honestly, the T-Wolves teams of old probably lose that game, right? So I think they're definitely a team to keep an eye on. Let's talk about the injuries for a second. You have Alex Len going out. Not sure if you have an update there, Brendan, on that one. And Trey Lyles, no timetable. Is it time to be a bit worried about Trey Lyles? And is there any inclination? I mean, he looked good. I saw a video of him working out yesterday. Any idea when Trey Lyles, not so much Alex Len, but any idea when Trey Lyles will return?
Zero clue on either one of those. And for the audio side, Chris shaking his head during this entire time. Yeah. I agree. It's kind of frustrating. We don't really know. When it comes to Alex Len, they said a moderate ankle sprain, which to me sounds similar to what De'Aaron just dealt with. It wouldn't surprise me if it's just sort of just the trip for Alex, but every person's going to deal with that differently. Obviously, Alex has a lot more size and just weight that he's carrying around on his ankles. So TBD with him. I'm pretty sad about that, I will say. I thought Alex was playing well. I am interested to see if Alex is maybe just a better option than JaVale. It's kind of been looking like that recently, but TBD. And Trey Lyles, we have no clue, man. Like, somebody in the chat's pointing out that they saw him do a workout the other day. I think you just mentioned that too, Alan. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, we saw it, and it's like, that's cool. He's working up a sweat. He looks like he's moving well. We've seen this exact same workout, I think, two other times, mm-hmm. and like, including like a week and a half ago. And I remember at that point being like, man, he looks great. He's probably not far. And there's still nothing. So I genuinely do not know. It's still unknown if he's even traveling with them on this trip. So still waiting to hear on Trey Lyles for sure. And it's kind of frustrating that we don't have even a general timeline or updates on, you know, is he or is he not traveling? What sort of progress has he been making? We don't really know. And I do think that he's sort of a underrated aspect of, you know, they haven't had him this whole year. And you look at the bench and it's like, sure, some other guys are emerging, but really after Malik Monk, like Trey Lyles was their seventh guy, you know, so not having him is a big loss. But we really have nothing right now.
Brendan, I'm way too worked up about that this very specific topic to really get too much into it. But without you getting yourself into too much trouble, how frustrating is it to not kind of know? And B, do you feel like my biggest thing with this is I just don't feel like in any other sports franchise I see some form of injury update. Like, you're going to get some sort of time frame. I don't know if different leagues have different policies on what they're supposed to release, but without getting yourself into any trouble, how frustrating is it to just kind of not know when those guys are going to come back?
Yeah, it's definitely frustrating. Like, honestly, this is the first team I've really covered to this extent. Sure. So I don't know what the industry standard is necessarily, but I do feel like with other teams you are getting more regular updates. Like, the Warriors are kind of the gold standard of this. They are giving you nonstop updates about things that are going on. Even the Wiggins thing last year, it's like obviously they couldn't say much, right. Mm-hmm. But we're hearing things about it a lot. They're getting asked about it a lot. And you know, even if the updates maybe aren't telling you much, it's something. And it is frustrating that we just get nothing about Trey, you know, like the beginning of the year. It's interesting to me how this even happened. He was right. Playing in preseason and then is warming up before a game. He said he warmed up just fine. And then he's kind of like limping off the court a bit, not even limping, just, you know, walking a little bit gingerly. And then he goes and gets tested and realized that something happened.
Like, and we don't know what specifically it is either, right?
A calf.
Well, his, but like, yeah. Not severity. We don't know if it's a pull.
Grade.
Or
what grade it is.
It's listed just as a left calf strain, and that's all we've gotten the whole time. Gotten told, you know, calves are tricky, which everybody has said a handful of times. You know, it connects to the Achilles, so you just got to be patient and careful.
Come on, I know all too well. Got to get to a break. We are with Brendan Nunez. Got another segment. So nice of Brendan to hang with us. And you know, Brendan, we kept it chill here the first one, but the second segment,
it's Wasabi Wednesday.
We are busting out and dusting off the trade generator. That's right, Brendan. Ooh, you don't have a choice because you're with us. Styles and Watkins, Brendan Nunez, Sacktown Sports, Kings reporter. We'll be right back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking up to 2 p.m. Fully loaded show like a baked potato. That is Chris's favorite. Okay. No, that's not that.
Yeah. It's your favorite now.
It's just underutilized.
That's
right. I made one last night. It was delicious.
Wow. There you go. Okay. Brendan Nunes joining us, Sactown Sports Kings reporter, giving us great updates, but unfortunately updates on a little bit of nothingness as we wait on Trey Lyles and Alex Len, and hopefully we get some information there soon. Brendan, it's about that time to dust off the trade generator and your thoughts on... It's hard to do when the Kings are rolling like they're rolling. There are a couple names, and we talked about Harrison Barnes yesterday, how some people might not be aware of when the Kings would be able to even deal him. It would not be right now. When you see names like Zach LaVine, who makes what feels like $1 billion a year, Alex Caruso, DeMar DeRozan, is there a name that sticks out to you or a couple names that stick out to you, or do you think the Kings should just chill and see what they have?
I still think we're going to end up talking about OG Anunoby at the trade deadline.
Okay.
It was something that was talked about for, I think going back to last trade deadline, it was definitely a conversation in the offseason. The Kings were clearly very interested. I think he's exactly the type of guy that Sacramento needs. You know, I think that the clear improvement and upgrade spot is another wing. Who goes next to Keegan Murray long term, right? Harrison Barnes is fine as a fourth, fifth starter that just does a little bit of everything. I know he's been a little disappointing. I think he's going to come around. And he just does his job. It's not very often you're looking out there like, oh, HB just totally botched that play. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think there's value to that. But you need a more impactful guy eventually if you want to make your way closer to championship contention, which is clearly this team's goal. And I think getting a wing stopper like that, along with the development you've seen from Davion Mitchell, say you can throw Davion on some of the guards maybe, like, or I'm sorry, from Keegan Murray. Maybe you can throw Keegan on some of the guards like we've seen recently, Steph Curry, Donovan Mitchell. Maybe you can throw OG on some of these bigger wings. Like, I think that OG would do a lot for you defensively and fit well into this team offensively. It's clearly a guy they like. He's an expiring contract. It wouldn't surprise me the conversation comes back up again.
Very interesting. And I mean, just in general, in order to get a guy like OG, you're definitely going to have to send off some talent. In general, who would you say has been the biggest surprise for you this season in a positive manner, and then of course in a negative manner as well? What would you say has been the biggest disappointment, I guess, in the biggest good surprise you've seen this year?
Yeah, when it comes to the Kings, I think that, you know, the best surprise probably has to be Keegan Murray. Like, I think Keegan and De'Aaron are the two that stand out. And obviously you could throw Keon Ellis in there little bit, but I don't know how long that's going to last necessarily. Right. I think at some point he's going to have a hiccup, though. It'll go back to Davion. But I think that Keegan's defense has been huge. Like, that last game that he played against Donovan Mitchell was easily the best defensive game we've seen from him in his career. We saw flashes early in his career too. I think it was like game 3 or 4. We talked about this on the pod yesterday. That, you know, he guarded Paul George really early in his career, did okay. We saw him put on Steph Curry. Coach said he wants to be able to put him on Curry and Donovan Mitchell, and then also put him on LeBron James. Like, he might get assigned to LeBron tonight. So I think we've seen a lot of progress from him there. Like, he just looks engaged, right? He's 6'8". He's long. He's getting into his stance, defending the second a guy crosses half court, getting deflections, being physical. I think doing everything you want. And, like, the shot's not going down, but it's a little bit of everything else. His rebounding total is up by more than 2 a game. Offensively especially, he's really making an impact there. I think his finishing around the rim has been better. You know, we've seen some dunks, but there's still definitely some double clutches where you're like, dude, just man up and go through these guys, please. So I think we've seen a lot of progress from Keegan, specifically defensively. And like I just talked about with like the OG hypothetical, you need a wing stopper in this league. And if Keegan can become that, that'd be huge. Disappointment?
Trust your work. Come on.
It's, I guess, Davion. I don't know. Like, I don't think this has been too surprising, honestly, when it comes to Davion. Maybe that's saying something,
yeah,
but like,
I think it is.
I don't know, man. Like, sure. Offensively, yes. Okay, we'll say disappointing because there wasn't offensive progress.
There you go. You can just say seemingly. It's offense. That's okay.
There hasn't been offensive progress for Davion, right? Like, the shot looks a little better, still not going down at a great rate. Offensively, they just don't have their rhythm when he's out there. Like, the offense just looks totally different. You could keep the 4 other starters, and if it's Davion instead of Keon or De'Aaron, then the offense just does not look the same. So I'll go with Davion just because I don't think we've seen the progress that you maybe would have hoped coming into this year.
Talking to Brendan Nunez, Sactown Sports Kings reporter. Brendan, I'm not trying to ship anybody out of here just yet, and I know he's going to get the bag because he has a bag, but Malik Monk has shown us how important he is to this team. Where do you think he's at in terms of, you know, you get through this season, he's obvious, and he continues to ball like this. Moving into the future, I know there have been conversations about extending him, but would that extension also be as a sixth man, or are there kind of rumblings about the future when you talk about the championship window in terms of Malik Monk as maybe being a starter, and if he wants to be a starter, and if he's not a starter, would he want to stay with the Kings? Where do you think the Kings are with that? And it might be too early, but the way he's balling right now, you have to think to yourself, these guys, they want the opportunity to be one of the guys.
Yeah, I think after the big three, if you want to throw Keegan in there with Domas and De'Aaron, that Malik's easily the most important guy on this team. And I think he's been treated as that, even if he's not starting. You know, like, coaches clearly valued what he brings off the bench, said that it's honestly feels harder to replace what he brings off the bench than going and finding somebody to replace a starting lineup, you know, and maybe just plugging somebody in with the other four starters. So I think that Malik is extremely valuable. And I think, you know, I don't know the mind of Malik necessarily where he's at with this, but the most important thing is closing games, no?
Yeah.
And Malik gets that opportunity all the time. So it is going to be, he's one of the more interesting free agents this offseason, because I think there's such a wide range of possibilities. You know, a team like Philly could offer him some money and you know, similar money to what Sac could. And then he goes and takes a lesser role on a team that's borderline championship contender, or a team could totally come in and offer $25 million and just totally buy into this guy. Like, we want you to help some of our younger groups. Let's say Detroit has some money and wants to spend and needs some spacing and other creation, you know? So I think there's such a wide range of possibilities, but Sacramento's a team he's been able to come to, and it started in LA really, and sort of reinvent himself. You know, there was definitely a narrative around Malik Monk, and I think that's totally changed within these last 2.5 years, really, again, since he started in LA, but that's kept up here in Sacramento. So I think there's some, I think that he's seemed to have enjoyed his time in Sacramento, and I think they can offer him enough to make a pretty good offer, but it wouldn't surprise me if some other team came in and tried to cash him out.
So talking about, yeah, Malik and Davion, just what do you feel like in general the Kings are looking for at that backup point guard spot? I mean, clearly, you know, when you're playing with this Kings offense, you have to be able to shoot the ball. That's very clear. But, you know, just, you know, with how much Malik has the ball when De'Aaron's not out there, it's not really your typical backup point guard responsibility. So what do you feel like if they were to just hypothetically move on from a guy like Davion Mitchell, what would you want to see them bring back in, or fit, who, or what kind of role would you think needs to be filled moving forward if it's not going to be with Davion?
I mean, it's really a very minimal role. Yeah. Like, De'Aaron's playing, what, 33, 35 minutes a night? So we're talking 2 6-minute stretches for this backup point guard, and they're probably all going to be with Domantas Sabonis,
right?
Because they stagger De'Aaron and Domas. So, like, if that's who your offense is running through, you need somebody that can bring the ball up the floor, make that entry pass pretty quick, which I kind of think has been a decent aspect of maybe some of Davion's struggles, because, you know, he just has the height. It's harder to make that entry pass to Domas, and it takes longer. You're starting the offense 4 seconds later than you need to, and that makes a difference, right? They're trying to win on the margins like that. That's something Coach Brown is big about. So you don't need that much. Like, I think Keon Colby might be able to handle those responsibilities, or, like, you talk about, like, a Ish Smith or a Howell Neto. Like, sure, there's so many veteran. We were talking about Matthew Dellavedova last year. Like,
right, even Quinn Cook played
okay minutes. Quinn Cook, you know, like, you could even look at, you know, last year, I don't know why I'm forgetting the name of the guy they had on there, Trey Burke, that's on their G League team last year, you know, could eventually come in and get some spot minutes. Like, I really don't think that role requires that much. Maintain the offensive flow. And Kings basketball, as Coach Brown describes it, is being physical, fast, and together. Embrace those. Don't make too many mistakes in your 12 minutes, and I think you're fine.
Brendan Nunez, Sactown Sports Kings reporter. Brendan, got to get out of here, but real quick, before we let you go, thoughts on Keon Ellis and his impact on the Kings, and is it going to be a thing that lasts the whole season?
I would be shocked if it lasts the whole season. Okay. I think at some point Keon is going to look a little flustered, maybe offensively would be my expectation, or he'll pick up a couple quick fouls one of these games, and you're going to go back to Davion. Mm-hmm. You know, like I think it's Keon's spot to lose right now, but just the nature of being a second-year guy that's on a two-way still, like this is a heightened opportunity for Keon, and I think at some point he's going to fumble it a little bit. That's nothing against him. I think that's just natural and part of the learning process, but then Davion's going to get his opportunity. And when a guy has not got a DNP CD for the first time in his career, mm-hmm. Davion's going to come back in with so much energy and probably look great. So I think Keon's been good, impressive, promising, and maybe makes this conversation about trade deadline different because maybe you feel a little bit more okay with moving on from Davion if you feel like you have okay backups already in-house. So Keon's been great, better than I expected, filling that point guard role that I honestly didn't think he was suited for and doing it well. And eventually shots are going to go down too, by the way. This guy shot above 40% from three last year in Stockton on good volume. He's been a good three-point shooter. Like everybody talked about, Sasha's breaking their records for that three-point shooting drill. Jordan Ford was right after him, and then Keon Ellis is right there. Keon's a good shooter. Shots will eventually go down. So I think there's even more to see from him. But eventually you're going to go back to Davion here, I think.
Brandon Nunes does great work for us. Sacktown Sports Kings reporter. Follow him on X. Follow him on Twitter. Great follow. You got to stay up to date with everything he's got going on. Brendan, thank you for joining us. We will talk to you next week.
Appreciate you guys.
Bye.
All righty, got to get to a break. When we get back, there are power rankings from The Athletic. Where do the Kings stack up? And if Chris wants to keep talking about Draymond, I guess we can keep talking about Draymond. Sals and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Sals and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Thank you to Brendan Nunes. Sacktown Sports Kings reporter does a great job for us for joining us for two segments.
What a guy. A
lot of great information as we see text and YouTube chat come in. Shout out to the YouTube chat, as always. Mercedes-Benz of Stockton. Shout out to the YouTube chat holding it down for us and to the text line and the calls that we've got as well. 916-339-1140 if you want to be a part of the conversation. There is no real update on Trey Lyles. It is a mystery. We are calling Nicolas Cage to try to figure out what is going on with Trey Lyles, and there's no real – there's, I guess, more of an update with Alex Len. We know
High ankle sprain. We know it's moderate, and we know that an update is allegedly TBD. I'm looking at the official press release right now, and his return to game action is to be determined. Further updates will be provided when appropriate.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like, you know – it sounds like maybe not great, but, you know, the Kings are going to power through and just like a lot of things, you know, I've been working with, like you said, you move and you're waiting for address changes and things like that. And there's a lot of working with entities that might not be so up to date electronically or digitally. Yeah. And you just got to wait.
Yep.
Right. And you can be upset about it like I was this morning. Yes. And I gave Chris an earful as soon as I sat down.
Sounds terrible.
Or you can just power through, and the Kings are going to have to power through as they go on this pretty difficult road trip at Lakers, at Spurs, at Mavericks, at Pelicans twice. Be careful for the jambalaya and the gumbo out there. And at Timberwolves to close it out. 916 coming down, I believe, Brendan's Road. 916, I love when people think that Harrison Barnes is going to, quote, turn things around. What basketball player have you been watching the past few years? And friend of the show, this is Harrison, in quotes, wear a suit, Barnes. Love that. You, man, love that one. Look,
leadership.
But that's the thing that has really grinded Chris's gears is that every couple games you'll see a flash.
Yep.
Right. And I think that's really been Harrison Barnes throughout his career.
Yep.
I think in Golden State before those fateful finals, you saw more flashes, right? And he was way more serviceable and better than serviceable. I'd say he's serviceable now, right? He was more than serviceable when he was with Golden State until the very end. And then after that, he's always been trying to live up. You know, you talk about ceilings a lot. I do like to say, and it's kind of crazy to think about this, that this is not trying to be disrespectful at all, but Harrison Barnes, in a way, we were talking about huge high school recruits. Oh, Harrison Barnes almost
he's up there.
Laid out his career based on his ceiling that I don't believe he's ever reached or will ever reach. But he's so good. That is to say,
he's been convincing people since he was literally in prep school that he's got something else to it.
Yes, and we can unlock it. Yeah. And that's why you call Andrew Wiggins a variant of Harrison Barnes, because Harrison Barnes, if you're dating, is the bad boy that you're going to turn around. Or Harrison Barnes is the bad girl that, hey, once she's with me, we can figure these things out. I'll turn her in to someone that my mom will be okay with and vice versa. That's been Harrison Barnes.
Yeah. It's like, it's like she's good looking. Yeah. He's really good looking, but like, you know, like you said, like when they get with me, that's when the whole thing will come together. I'm going to show her good music.
Potential.
You know,
potential. He just got bad credit. Yeah. We're going to work on some things. We're going to, you know, fix the purchases, and I will be the one to change.
Yep.
And as they say, you won't be the one to change them. Yeah. And the things that Harrison Barnes does well, and we joke about the wear a suit, but he does have a use for this team.
Oh, for
I think that the older this team gets throughout the season, not age-wise, but just maturity throughout season.
Experience-wise.
Experience-wise. And De'Aaron Fox returning and Kevin Herter. And they just don't seem very immature.
Yeah.
And that's why I think Harrison Barnes does still have value, because one, it's a good contract whenever, you know, when he's allowed to be traded.
Totally.
And two, there are a lot of young teams, right? Just talking to Brendan Nunes last segment, you know, Malik Monk, they might cash out at Detroit, might want to cash him out and give him the keys. Well, also, Detroit has Killian Hayes, Cade Cunningham. They could use somebody. An adult in the room. And even though Harrison Barnes, like you said, he's 31 years old, he's not necessarily an elder statesman. But at this point, hey, 17, 18 mil a year, the way these numbers are working these days, we can sit that on the bench and make sure that Harrison Barnes is the guy.
Or if you're a bad team, like if you're Detroit, just start him.
Just start him and say, hey, when we go on road trips, make sure these guys, you know, they got their got their credit
right. Make sure they're in the hotel.
Make sure they're in the hotel, right? So there's definitely a use for him. So I hear you, 916, about maybe being a better player or unlocking that level on the court. And we've talked about how late in somebody's career can you see them get to the next level.
Right.
We had that conversation. We said it was done. We said don't get your hopes up. Mm-hmm. Harrison Barnes comes out and scores 27 in the first half.
Yeah.
And we never hear from him again. Nope. That's what's difficult.
He said, I'm good. I'm out. I earned my check. Hope you guys enjoyed this season.
Thank
it's
you,
been
Utah.
Really fun. Thank you, Vancouver. Thank you, Utah. It's been cool. I'll see you guys in like 15 games when I drop another 30 points.
And the Kings fans are yelling, encore, encore.
And he's like,
I got to get on the bus. I got to get on the bus. We got to catch this flight.
Literally, I played all the songs already. Right. That was really it. I'm just kind of an opener. The main act will be out soon.
So that's what's tough about it. As we take a look at the power rankings, the NBA power rankings, Kings very much still George Bush, and if you know George W. Bush, he got C's in high school, and the Kings are basically a C as far as grades. Zach Harper has them ranked 16th, or I believe 15th, and 15th starts their different tiers, right? So to just go through them, they have all these different tiers, and the Kings are in the tier, and don't be upset here, but the Kings are in the tier of play-in, like you will for sure make the play-in. And when you see that and you see them rank 15th, you think that seems a little bit disrespectful. Zach Harper, why would you go there? And then you look at their offensive rating being 16th in the league.
Right.
And you look at their defensive rating being what? 16th in the league. Mm. You can't really be mad about that assessment.
No, not at all. Especially with the look, the last two games have been great. The fact that Kings have gotten the results, but you know, people who aren't watching this team every single night, that three-game losing streak is going to stick out to them. And they're going to say, and, you know, also the fact that they barely beat Portland as well, people are still going to have their doubts about the Kings. And, you know, they did look bad enough in those losses to Houston to where I think that's going to scare off a lot of people nationally who are already pretty hesitant to say that the Kings were going to repeat the success that they had last year. So it doesn't surprise me. And frankly, I think this is the right, I think it's A, the right spot for Zach Harper to put the Kings in, but B, I think it's the right spot for the Kings themselves to be in because, you know, frankly, I have a little bit of concern about once this team does get good, how will they handle success?
Yeah.
Will they be able to rise to occasions every single night? So I think that they're where they should be right now in their development. I think it's a good spot where they're still definitely in the mix of things, but they could still realistically talk themselves into, oh, we're underdogs, we're underrated,
right.
We still have things to prove. And I think that's the perfect place to be. That's probably where Mike Brown loves to be also.
Yeah, because starting out the season, I think the Kings fan base had really high hopes.
Yeah.
And I think the Kings had really high hopes. And I think that added pressure that they weren't necessarily used to affected them early on in the season. And you could feel it. I mean, the tension every jump shot, just whenever Kevin Huerter took a shot, Keegan specifically took a shot, a guy that is really carrying a lot of the weight on the shoulders. And if you look at, we did that top 25, under 25 last season, right? Another way to look at this is the top 25, under 25, and their importance to their team. Mm-hmm. Now you have the Lucas, you have the Wembys, you have those guys. But I would put Keegan top 10 in terms of importance to that team's success. A lot of these guys are on teams, Chet Holmgren or somebody.
Even like Jalen Williams, who's probably
they're all young
list.
Together.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so that they're not dealing with the same thing. They're all young together, just growing together. You have Keegan, who it's De'Aaron saying, hey, come with us. Sabonis is saying, hey,
I'm here.
Come
I'm ready.
With us. We need you to meet us. It's not like the Thunder where we're all just hanging out together. We're just going to grow together. So Keegan, I think, would have to be top 10 in terms of importance to his team being under 25. So I think there was a lot of those things weighing on the Kings early.
Yeah.
Now we get to see that come back around the merry-go-round because now you have won. You have done some nice things. Now you got to go to L.A. Mm-hmm. And you got to go on the road, period, on a long road trip. Mm-hmm. And you got to start in L.A. against a Lakers team who's trying to find their footing. They beat the downtrodden Grizzlies last night. And they had a little scuffle where AD pushed somebody and Desmond Bane was trying to get an Anthony Davis's grill. And I know a short joke was definitely said by Anthony Davis at some point because I was thinking it in my head. But Desmond Bane trying to stand on business with Ja Morant out. So you have the Lakers trying to get back on track. They've had issues with Austin Reeves. He's part of our big three. No, he's not.
Yeah.
Austin Reeves had a nice little playoff session, showed the people he's got a little bit of a bag. He's a nice story. And all of a sudden, he's your big three. But that's, you know, and that's what the Lakers do.
Yeah.
That's what the Lakers media does. That's what the Lakers fan base does.
For sure.
They prop these people up that never should have been propped up so they can pull the rug from under them if they don't
scapegoat.
If they don't have production.
For sure.
And now all of a sudden, the Lakers, Miami and the Sixers, who I think the Sixers have now bowed out of the Zach LaVine sweepstakes. And you know what? You see these posts, and I just think honestly, is this just an evergreen post with the Heat, the Lakers, and the Sixers, and just change the name of who the star is.
Oh yeah.
And so now the Lakers are looking for somebody. And if you're Austin Reeves and you think he's got that dog in him, 130, don't forget dog segment.
I'm still in on Austin Reeves.
You're in on Austin Reeves.
Yeah, I don't think this is Austin Reeves' fault at all.
Okay.
I'm blaming Darvin Ham and more specifically D'Angelo Russell for this one.
Got to get to a break. We will get into that and preview more of Lakers Kings when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. There's a new duo in the midday. I love it.
Yeah, I
love it. Can I make that? Do we still have ringtones? People still have ringtones?
No, not really.
You know, it is bizarre when you're out somewhere and somebody's phone rings. I'm just thinking, why?
Isn't it weird that, I mean, we were, like, when phones first came out, everybody had their own unique ringtone, and there was never questions of, was that my phone? Was that, because everybody had their own individual sounds.
Yeah.
And, you know, you had a Nokia, I had a Sprint or something, you know, and it would be, those two companies would have completely different noises, but now we all have iPhones, and they all make the same noise. And so now when you get a text, everybody in the room has to pat their pockets and look at their phone and see if
did you
them.
Do the voicemail thing when you play a song?
Guilty.
Oh, like the callback tone?
Right, you play you would have to play it on your CD.
For the voicemail?
For your voicemail.
Oh, no, I never did
you
the
play
voicemail.
It for a little bit, then you say, yo, what's up? It's Alan, you miss me.
Simone,
But I was a kid, so it was more like, hey, what's up? It's Alan.
Hey,
you miss me. I was going to say, I probably paid for this my band ringtone for sure.
Right. Simone, what was your phone back in the day?
Oh god. I definitely started off with a little Nokia brick
for sure.
That had Snake on it.
Yes.
And then my mom, so generous, so loving, hooked me up with a Razor was the next one.
I see.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
Yes. I see. Yes. I was a big slider guy. I had the Kyocera slider. I don't even know.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the sidekick.
No, but we all had that friend who had the sidekick.
Yes.
And a phone.
Yes.
Oh, and a phone? Yes, you have to have both because you didn't use the phone.
He used the sidekick for the internet.
Yes. For
Yes.
And spreadsheets.
Right. Yes. And spreadsheets. Yes. Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't brought that back because they tried to bring back. They didn't bring back the Razr, but they brought back Slider phones not too long ago. I'm surprised nobody tried
to bring
back. And
now there's flip phones again, like foldable phones.
Yes, they're called foldable, not flip. It's a big difference. There you go. Good times as we talk Kings, Lakers. We get ready to see how the Kings do on this road trip. They are rolling right now, beating OKC. First of all, they beat the Blazers. It's funny how we don't even count that as a win.
You know, that's a moral loss, honestly. You know, we talk a lot about moral victories
moral
here.
Victories,
but
moral
like,
losses.
You know, it's like, you know, looking back on it, like, that's about as easy of a game as you're going to get in today's NBA as a home game against Portland. And in fact, the Kings kind of barely squeezed it out. You know, again, we'll take it. I think we even said at the time, beggars can't be choosers.
Well, let me ask you this question. Yeah. And this is a team on the opposite end. I think that's the T-Wolves' seventh win in a row.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Now, do you think the Timberwolves, different situation, but do you think the Timberwolves feel bad about barely beating a team that was literally missing their big three?
I'm sure they don't feel great about it, for sure. I would guess that they probably... I mean, you know, the night obviously was a little bit crazy, so you can maybe find some excuses. But at the end of the day, Steph Curry doesn't play in that game, and the Warriors end up not playing Draymond Green and Klay Thompson for 47 of those minutes. I personally, if that were the Kings, I wouldn't be excited about it. I would say this is yet another example of why can't the Kings do this when De'Aaron Fox is out? You know, the Warriors just showed a prime example of you don't have your three guys. Doesn't mean that you should just give up on any given night.
I mean, look, when you're playing with house money, it's a lot easier.
It's different.
Right, Pajemski's playing like the world is his oyster because, hey, if I miss, we are supposed to lose anyway. We don't have any of our guys. And on the other end, you're the Timberwolves. You're supposed to win. You know that. Yeah. And they powered through and they got the W. So I don't know how bad the Timberwolves actually feel about last night.
I mean, for sure. I mean, at the end of the day, yes, you did get the result, but...
the fight changes things. The Kings should feel way worse about that Blazers game.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a tough one.
I don't know. I don't think the Timberwolves should feel excited about, you know, they're definitely not going to be talking about on Sports Talk. That was not a launch point anything, you know.
But a winning streak is going to have.
Exactly. Yeah. It's going to have its questionable games. It's just, that wouldn't be that's not the marquee game that you're going to put up there from the seven-game win
and
streak.
That is how the Kings will end this road trip. In Minnesota, that will be a very, very good game. But they got some business to take care of. Before then, we will get more into that upcoming schedule here at 12:15 as we take a trip around the NBA. Chet versus Wemby in a photo yesterday that could have been meme to say, you know, me trying to get the cookie jar from the top shelf. I mean, it looked like it was altered.
You're talking about the jump ball photo?
The jump ball was insane.
It was broken. It was a broken photo. It was
insane.
To get the best experience, I think you have to look at it on your phone because when I did it, I zoomed in so that like I could see the entirety of their arm. So you could see the ball at the top of your screen and then like their shoulder at the bottom of the screen. Mm-hmm. That's like a third of the photo.
Yeah.
Then you scroll down, same proportion, you get from head to like, I don't know, waist. And then there's just a whole third photo of their like I've just never seen that much human body in one picture. It was insane. It looks broken.
No. And I mean, it doesn't make any sense, honestly. For those guys to see. And my question always was, because I like Chet Holmgren, and I thought, I always make jokes about Gonzaga because there's always that friend who picks Gonzaga with March Madness.
Every year.
Coming up soon. Stay away. Until they do it, I like you, Mark Few, but until they do it, just stay away. But I really like Chet. I think he's going to have a big future. And it was really interesting to me how people were so weary, or we'll talk to Whitey about it in the crosstalk, about Chet.
It's insane.
When Wembanyama is not that much bigger to me. And I think
he's smaller.
I think the talent maybe is why you were not afraid to go after Wembanyama. But I will say, that same risk with Chet is right there with Wembanyama to me.
Yeah, 100%. No, I definitely agree. Where it's just freak stuff. Like where, you know, Chris Paul had that viral clip the other day of him falling into somebody's legs.
Yeah.
Like if that happens to Wembanyama, I feel like it's snapping.
I thought you were going to say Chris Paul when he took a picture with Wemby on his tippy toes. That's the one you were going to talk about. Awesome. A lot of memeable stuff there.
That was also incredible.
Let's head to L.A. with the Clippers, who are 0-5. Here's a quote from James Harden, and it's just a gift that keeps on giving. Mm. Here's a quote. I keep reiterating, I didn't have a training camp or a preseason, so kind of learning on the fly. Also, getting myself into James Harden shape. Mm. Last night was definitely another step in the right direction, and just keep improving, close quote. This is the James. So remember when James Harden said he was a system? This is the James Harden system. He is the system.
Come on.
I'm going to put myself in a bad situation, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to use it as a cop out when I don't produce.
Yeah.
There it is, right there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to continue to put myself into bad situations, and then when I don't produce, I can reference the bad situation that I put myself into and use it as an excuse. I'm sick.
Line stepper.
Yes, sir.
I'm sick of it.
Yeah, no, I'm tired of it. I have no use for James Harden excuses. The fact that he's trying to use conditioning right now, like it's somehow the Sixers' fault that he's not in shape. I understand you didn't have a training camp, which you correctly point out is also James Harden's fault because of the situation he put himself in. But that doesn't mean that you couldn't have worked out on the side.
Right, you just chilling. No, ready. He's eating wings and Bun B's Burger Place. Oh, That's what he's doing.
Yeah, and he's going to Houston Astro playoff games and, you know, Houston Dynamo soccer games.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then, then shows up in Philadelphia for training camps and like, I don't want to do this. I really don't want to do this. Let me get out of here. And, I've got no time for James Harden excuses.
And then, on top of that, I'm not going to, you know, we're all on our journeys here and dietary journeys, so I'm not going to roast anybody. Mm. But what exactly is James Harden's shape?
That's what I was wondering. That sounds like an ambiguous kind of thing where it's
fluid.
Like, yeah.
It's a fluid situation.
Because we've seen James Harden's shape be a pretty round shape,
yes.
And I think we've seen James Harden's
shape.
The fat
suit.
Yeah, exactly. It's a fat suit James Harden, and then we've also seen James show up and look incredibly trim and like he's ready to play 82 games. It could be any of the. It could be that side. It could be this side. It could be somewhere in between. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what James Harden's shape actually is.
It's funny because a lot of people have a friend like Draymond Green who does too much.
Yeah,
a lot of people also have a friend like James Harden where he just never takes accountability and it's never their fault.
And MIA all the time.
MIA all the time, doesn't respond, and it's always somebody else's fault.
Yep.
It's never their fault. They never take accountability. That is James Harden. We all know, and most of you listening right now, watching right now, are thinking of that person.
Yep.
Text them and see how long it takes them to respond. Got to get to a break. When we get back, Chris has some things to say about Austin Reeves and maybe him turning it around. And we have some we talk about self-awareness a lot on this show. LeBron James and the lack of self-awareness in this mic'd up clip is hilarious. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.